You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Former NHLer Matty, how you doing?
No, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Jason, how are you?
Good. And I was telling people that having listened to most of your stories, you have a lot of good ones on air, but you had a lot of great stories off air that were never really good for air. So you would have a few in your arsenal, say the least.
There's a few in my hip pocket. You know, some of them you can't quite talk about on the radio, and some of them you just have to save for those special moments. So maybe there'll be one or two coming out.
How's your golf game?
It's okay. It's okay. I haven't gone the last couple of weeks. I had struggled off the tee so far this year, but I'm okay. My putting's been pretty good, so if you get me there, I'll give us a chance.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. Oh, good around the greens, eh? Putt for dough. I like it.
Soft hands, Greg. Soft hands.
Well, that's what you were known for when you played, so that's true.
That it is what I was known for.
that would make a lot of sense. The Nashville Predators are right back in this series now, tied up at two. Although Pittsburgh last night, like, if people say Pecorini was the reason they lost game one, you can make a valid argument he's the reason Nashville won game four.
You could. I honestly think it's a 2-2 series, and it should be 2-2. You know, Nashville probably should have won that first game. Arguably, Pittsburgh should have won that last game. So you have some good hockey. I think this has been fairly entertaining. So you have a goaltender that's been streaky within the playoffs and streaky within the series, but yeah, Pecorino was really, really good, and Pittsburgh was really good game four, but you know, it's tied up now, and to me, that just makes it exciting. It's fun. I want this series to go to seven games.
Malkin and Kessel, specifically Kessel, they really haven't shown up yet in this series.
I think it's that D pairing, or not just the one D pairing, but all four, that top four of Nashville, they're really, really good, and it's really tough to get anything going against them. And I think we saw that in most of the series that Nashville has had, that their defense is phenomenal, and their forwards support them very, very well. And I think part of that is where you've seen some of what Malkin and Kessel can do be negated a little bit, because all of a sudden you really have two top pairs of D-men instead of just one. And, you know, it's not for Nashville, you're not picking your poison. It's not like, well, do we go after Crosby or do we go after Malkin? It's, well, we have a D-pairing that can play against both. And being such, I think there's a little bit less space for those two guys than there has been early in the playoffs.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, Nashville's top four defense is spectacular, no doubt. And the thing I like about it is they've got all different elements to them, right? Ellis is obviously very good offensively. Same with Roman Josi. They're not they're weak defensively. And then you've got Subban, who can be physical if need be. Ekholm's big and strong and still got gifted offense. And he has that. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Larson in the sense of he's got that sneaky, nasty side to his game.
He does. He does. I think it's a great part of his game is that he does have that physical edge and that physical play. And if you're going to look at that top four and say where they may be exposed or teams could try to expose them, and it definitely would be on that physical side because, as you said, you know, P.K. Subban throws big hits but doesn't necessarily play a super physical game, and Josi doesn't either. But here's a guy that plays mean and plays physical and plays big, but they can also skate and move the puck really well too. So their top four is stupendous. I think the best top four in the league, in my opinion, and I think it's showing right now in the series.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any argument about their defense. There's some people wondering, because Murray, the last two games, has not looked very good. His glove hand is something that Kevin Woodley talked about on our show, that, you know, that's an area of weakness in his game. And clearly, they've exploited a little bit in Nashville the last few games. Do you think there's any chance they would contemplate a goalie move?
At this point, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, maybe if in game five he gets absolutely blown up for five or six goals, then maybe you do, but he's been your horse, and Fleury has played extremely well when he's been in, but I don't think they look at doing the switch, at least not right now. He certainly hasn't been the reason that they've lost the last two games, although maybe not his best outings. It's not like I would pin it squarely on his shoulder. So I don't see them making a switch unjustifiably here unless he really, 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 really struggles, in which case then maybe you do, but for right now I just don't see it happening.
What? Yeah, and I don't really see a reason why, right? It's obvious Murray's kind of their guy of the future, right? Everybody said that. Everybody expects Marc-Andre Fleury to get moved. So why would you go back to a guy that's likely only going to be with your team for another week?
Yeah, I don't think you would. Barring something, a mental breakdown or where you just don't have confidence in him because he's really playing poorly, or you just need to make a switch to try and get everyone else going and just to change something as far as the mental chemistry of your team, then, yeah, to me it's just pointless to make that switch.
We had the conversation earlier, Travis Hamonic or Tyson Barrie. Which one do you think would be a better fit for the Oilers on their right defense?
Ooh, that's a good question. They're both really good players. I'm going to go with Hamonic. I think just moving out west mentally would be good for him. Really, that's a tough question. I'm going to go with Hamonic, and the reason I'm going to go with it is because I've been hearing rumors that trade may be in the works with Edmonton. So I'm going to go with my gut and saying if there's one that happens, it's going to be for him. So I'm going to say Hamonic.
Hamonic, and you're talking Hamonic for Eberle?
Hamonic for Eberle, yeah.
Well, what it gives the Oilers, what it does, of, you know, it fills a right D spot for sure. Probably eliminates, I think, a return maybe for Chris Russell, because if you bring in Hamonic and then you re-sign Russell, who will want a multi-year deal, I would assume, then you're going to have seven guys, right, kind of long-term with Benning and Nurse and Secker and Larson. I'm just not certain that's what you're going to do, especially because Russell, I can't see signing a multi-year deal for anything less than $3.5 million. I'd be stunned at that. So if you do Hamonic, then that probably means no return of Chris Russell, which is fine. It's a right defenseman. More importantly for me, though, it allows you to play Matt Benning and not feel like you have to force him more minutes too early. If he pushes for those minutes, great, but you don't have to force feed him that right away.
Yeah, I agree. Just to address something here, what I'm hearing from some people is that Russell expects a 4-year deal, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are, where they are in the conversation, but I know he expects, you know, 3+ years, so he expects term as well. Don't know if that's going to happen. Obviously, if the Hamonic trade happens, there's no way in my mind that Russell comes back. And he'll get a contract somewhere else, maybe back in Calgary. We'll see. But you're absolutely right. Benning will get a little bit more protected. You can be more careful with his minutes, and you're going to be able to shelter him. But that being said, you don't want to over shelter him. But at the same time, instantly your defensive depth just got a heck of a lot deeper, and all of a sudden you have some balance with those right shots. And you know, another guy in Benning that had a great season, and the last thing I think you want to do is to try and push him too far this next season and to do too much. And instead, if you are able to bring in another guy and you can control his minutes and still give him lots of opportunity, then I can only see good things in his future as far as development goes.
Matt Gassian joins us at Oil Report, brought to you by ProAmSports.ca. Now, Matty, so let's say they move Jordan Eberle. Does then the number one focus for Peter Chiarelli have to be to find a right winger?
I think so. Yeah, part of it depends on where Puljujarvi is. I don't think development-wise, I wouldn't expect him to jump into Eberle's spot right away. But if you can find a stopgap, and I haven't looked through the list of free agents or guys that would be available yet, I just haven't got to it to see who might be a fit. But I do think you have to try and bring in that scoring winger. I just think that it's going to be difficult for Eberle based on his style of scoring, because he still gets points and he's still a great player and has offensive capabilities. But I just don't know if his offensive style really fits into where they want, or the style of play of those top two lines. If you have Draisaitl and McDavid in the middle, especially. So I think you got to try to find someone that's a trigger man, that's a good shooter, and that's a finisher. And again, I'd have to go through the list to see who's out there. But if Eberle goes and you bring in that right-handed defenseman, whether it be Barrie or it does end up being Hamonic or whoever it is, then certainly I do think you have to look at bringing in a top six right winger if possible.
Yeah, somebody with veteran experience, because you know I still think Leon Draisaitl's. Now it might not happen next year right away, but I think Leon Draisaitl is definitely a guy who's better off playing center in my books.
Yeah, end goal is for him to play center. You know, next year, maybe he still plays on the right wing with Connor McDavid, but you want exactly what Pittsburgh has, and then you have Sidney Crosby on one line. You have Malkin on the second line, and you really make it difficult for teams to defend against both of those units. So that's the end goal. Again, you'll see it jump around just based on McClellan's. He likes throwing lines in the blender during the game and switching things up. So you'll see it jump around a little bit. But, yeah, make no mistake, the point of having both of those guys is to have one center in one line and one center in the other.
Matty, before I let you go, tease me on your two best not-for-air stories that you will tell on Friday for the people golfing with you. All you got to do is mention a name or somebody or a situation.
Okay. I'll say Mikko Koivu in a golf cart.
Oh, okay, okay.
That could be one. What would be another one here? You know what? I'll just talk about rookie party. That's enough said on that.
Had a few of those.
Yeah, I did a couple. I paid for more than I would have liked to, but I was a rookie a lot of times, Greg. It happened a lot.
Really? I thought once you're a rookie once, you don't have to do it again.
Well,
man.
Yeah, but you have to remember, I did it in multiple leagues. I didn't just have to do it once.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah, yeah. That's fair. That's fair. So, rookie parties at different levels. Wow, that'll be interesting stuff. All righty. So, that's this Friday, 2 o'clock at the Lynx for the Eagles Golf Tournament. And also, I'll tell you right now, Matty, outstanding comedian, Hempstead, who will be out there. And, man, I just can't wait. Well, I've seen him before, and he loves chirping Ryan Smith. So, you guys will have a lot of fun just with that entertainment. Alone.
Yeah, who doesn't like chirping Smitty?
Touche. Touche. Thanks, Matty.
Not a problem. Thank you, guys.
It's Matt Cassian.